Hello, Peter. Watch out for Iron Tail, Santa.
Oh, I'm not afraid. We're talking Here Comes Peter Cottontail. Hit it.
It was the 1980s. Madonna sang Like a Virgin in a wedding dress at the MTV Video Music Awards. Jelly shoes were in. George LeMond became the first American to win the Tour de France. And Peter Cottontail battled nasty old Iron Tail for the chief Easter Bunny spot. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, before I introduce my guest, it's time for the 80s word of the day. This comes from the Dictionary of 1980s Slang by Rick Carlisle. Today's word is snarf. Verb, originally to snatch greedily or to acquire in a sneaky way. By the 1980s, the meaning had evolved to eat in a ravenous, careless, frenzied fashion, reminiscent of a fireman frantically shoveling coal into a firebox of a steam train pursued by bandits. That's oddly specific. Possibly simply onomatopoeic, possibly a blend of snort and scarf. Make sure you use it all the time. joining me is a totally rad Christmas all-star. You'll know him as the host of the Bodacious Advent Calendar House. It's Mike Westfall. Mike, how's it going?
Very confused. I thought snarf was the Thundercats guy.
He definitely is.
Like, no.
Maybe that's where they got from.
Maybe.
I don't know. But so that's a new one to me. I'd heard scarf many, many times. But
yes.
Not snarf.
No, that's nope. Not as a verb. But sorry I'm late, but a bat chewed through my time machine's fuel injector. So true story.
Yeah. So we're talking Peter Cottontail tonight, and that's exactly what happens. What is your experience with Peter Cottontail? Like, what do you remember about it?
Honestly, so Rankin Bass made three Easter specials, and this is the one I've watched the least somehow, which boggles my mind because this is the one that has time travel.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think with your pedigree, it definitely would
right.
be up there. Yeah,
but no, I don't think my parents taped this one. That's what it was. So I really just watched it less.
Yeah, yeah, and funnily enough, this is actually the one I've seen the most of. I remember watching it a lot as a kid, and then I kind of lost it for early 2000s. And then when I met my wife, she reminded me of it because this is one of her favorites as well. And so then we started watching it every year. And I think we watch it like three or four times every Easter season. And the kids, of course, love it. Yeah. Time travel, magic. I mean, this has got like everything in it.
It's got a lot going on. It's got a lot of other holidays going on.
Yeah, I don't know if it's quite really an Easter special.
It is. They started to sell. I think this is Rankin Bass's first non-Christmas holiday special. Because
Could
it's from 1971. It came out months after Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is one of their big three. So they were really trying to branch out, and I guess once they got the Easter, they still had all these ideas in their head and just decided to, let's see how far we can stretch one.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was talking with Craig Kringle from Weird Christmas one time, and we were talking about Rudolph's Shiny New Year, and he kind of said the same thing. He's like, I wonder if they just had a bunch of puppets laying around from different projects, and they're like, hey, let's just reuse these things.
Yeah, sure. Just like, hey, I found Ben Franklin. Let's put him in the New Year's episode.
Yeah, you know, Christmas, Ben Franklin,
sure.
Of course. Caveman.
They made it work. Yeah,
that one was the Flintstones did it, so I guess it works, yeah. So this one, same thing. I really loved it just because of the time travel. Although thinking about it now, it kind of It doesn't make any sense, and we'll get into it. But
oh no, it does not.
But I love the time travel. I loved Iron Tail. Almost had for you Lord of the Rings nerds, it's almost like he had an egg shaped palantir. You know, with the
yes.
that Saruman uses, you know, to talk to Sauron and,
yep.
and Gandalf, you know, it's, he knows exactly what's going on at great distances. It's weird. But Seymour Sassafras almost seems to have one as well. Yeah. So I really enjoyed this one. I think this was the one I saw most. And then after that would probably be, the first Easter Rabbit.
That's the one I've seen them. I don't know. It might be a tie. I had the first Easter Rabbit, and then the third one is called The Easter Bunny is Coming to Town, which right. is a more direct sequel, at least spiritually, to Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It has S.D. Kluger in it and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one. That
they're from the same mold, but.
Yes, exactly. And that one I actually had never even seen until about 10 years ago.
Okay. I feel like the Disney Channel must have played them back to back one year, and so I have them on the same tape, one right after the other.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, because your parents used to tape just about everything.
They taped every special that would come on. So
just, nice.
I hope they still have them all, but there's a chance they don't.
Well, and it's funny because nowadays you go online, you can find just about anything.
You can. As long as you remember the title of something, there's a pretty good chance you'll find it, or at least what streaming platform it's now hiding on.
Right, right. But when we were young, I mean, if you didn't tape it, you had to wait pretty much a whole year.
Yeah.
And hope that they show it again.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these specials that we talk about, they didn't. You know, you'd wait years before it was finally aired again. Luckily, this one was actually showed in the 80s, and I remember it growing up. This is Bonkers special. Again, written by Romeo Muller, Rankin Bass's tour de force, really. I mean, he's, you know, the guy. He wrote just about everything that they did. But it has that same style. The central narrator, the character that kind of comes up against his evil, you know, foil. I mean, everything about it is just, it's very much in his style. And as well, the psychedelic numbers also.
Oh, yes. Many of those. Not quite as psychedelic as Jessica Claus's number in Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I think that's the winner in the Rankin-Bass multiverse, but this one comes close.
Yeah, that one is definitely trippy. I mean, I've never done acid, but I feel like if I did, that's kind of
don't what have to. Like. Just watch that.
Exactly. Exactly. So before we get into it, the special itself, I want to talk really quick about the name Peter Cottontail, because it's kind of a popular name now, but it's not really, it didn't really start that way. So it was based on a series of books by Beatrix Potter in the early 20th century. And that was Peter Rabbit, the tale of Peter Rabbit.
Yeah.
So she had her own series, became quite popular. But then there was another gentleman, Thornton Burgess, who also created a Peter Rabbit. Now, he actually specifically said that he used her her book as an inspiration. So nowadays, I don't know if copyright infringement would apply, but back then they didn't quite have those copyright laws. So his character was very different. They had different friends, went on different adventures. It was, you know, in different places that they lived in, just completely different. But his character in one of his books decided that Rabbit was just too generic of a name, so he changed it to Peter Cottontail. And that's how Peter Cottontail kind of got born. From there, of course, we got the song done by Nelson and Rollins in 1949, and it was made popular by Gene Autry.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hopping, Easter's on its way.
So Peter Cottontail became commonplace. So they took that. They also took Rankin Bass. You know, they like to build around a song. That's
they
like
do.
their MO. Yep. So they took that, but they also took a book called The Easter Bunny That Overslept. And so from there, they. Yeah, I think it was by a 1957 book by Priscilla Friedrich. And from there, they kind of combined the two and created this trippy story.
Well, that makes so much more sense now. Yeah. Going back to the Peter Cottontail name, Beatrix Potter's Peter Rabbit had a sister named Cottontail, so he's just pulling all sorts of details.
Yeah. I think if it was done Rude. Nowadays, he totally would be settling out of court for a large sum of money.
Oh, yeah. Nice try.
Just a mean old minute.
Yeah. But of course, Rankin Bass, you know, they love their holiday stuff. And you know that they have to stuff Christmas in everything.
They sure do.
So they found a way to get Santa Claus in there, played by Paul Frees.
It's a Paul Frees Santa. He's my favorite.
Merry Christmas, Peter. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Santa.
I remember that. I remember you saying in that Frosty episode that was like your voice of Santa. I love this version of Santa, although there is like one shot of him where he's standing next to Peter and it looks like Santa skipped leg day.
I think that's the same model from the very end of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
If not, it's very, very close. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're all designed pretty much by the same folks. Paul Coker Jr. did the character design, you know, and all that. Great guy. But anyway, let's hop right on into this because it's bonkers, and I'm excited to talk about this one. Oh goodness. It starts off in that typical Rankin Bass style. It's narrated by Danny Kaye.
Yes.
What's your what do you remember about Danny Kaye? Like, what do you remember most about him?
Very little, to be honest. I know it's just like Same a here. Name. Yeah. It's an old Hollywood name.
Pretty much, I think, yeah.
Yeah, my Danny Kaye reference is this special, to be honest. As Seymour S. Sassafras.
That's such a Romeo Muller name right there.
Yeah, and you can tell they did sort of the same thing that they did where they designed S.D. Kluger to look like Fred Astaire. This looks like Danny Kaye, and he's got the same sort of facial structure that they tried to do with S.D. Kluger, except it's Danny Kaye instead of he's got the eyes. It's very well done.
It really is, yeah, and it actually really kind of looks a lot like him.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Danny Kaye from White Christmas. That was like mostly what I knew him from.
Of course. Yeah. See, it's not Christmas time, so it all just... I forgot.
Yeah. I got to, yeah. No
you know,
worries.
The thing with the...
Yeah. So that's, of course, where I remembered him from. Other than that, I also remembered him from as a dentist from an episode of The Cosby Show.
Who said hello?
Me!
Oh, hello, I know you. You're Rudy Huxtable.
Right.
How are you?
Fine.
That's nice. Do you have an appointment?
No, I'm here with my friend Peter.
Oh, I see. Which one is Peter? The little one or the big one?
The little one.
The little one. You know something? He looks scared.
He always looks like that.
He does.
Oh,
like Rudy was going to the dentist and her friend, Peter got so scared and he like ran out. That was like Peter's gag every Cosby episode. So that's pretty much what I remembered him from. Other than that, I remembered him from the special. And you're right. He looks a lot like him. And he's basically telling the story. He's a narrator here. So he has those eggs, those palantir eggs I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah,
he has one
these
too.
Are the eggs. These are like the ceramic eggs that have a little hole in them and you can look in it and there's a little scene in it. And it's almost like a kaleidoscope, but there's a little Eastery scene usually. And they must have been really big in the 70s because there was this. There was, if you've seen It's the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown, they come up there.
Yes.
And those are the two things I want to say. The Family Circus Easter special had anything to do with it? I had never seen one of these in real life.
I never have either.
No, I just keep showing up in these 70s Easter specials, and that's my only reference point.
Same here, but it like the ones that they have in Easter Valley, or is it April Valley in this one? I think it's Easter Valley in this one.
Easter Valley is First Easter Rabbit.
The First Easter Rabbit. Okay, I always get those two mixed up. So in April Valley. The one that they actually have of these eggs somehow let them see what's going on other places.
Yeah, they have this, you know, that villain always has to have this worldwide surveillance camera scheme.
Looking at you, Cobra everything. Commander.
Yep. You had it. You ever notice, did you notice the opening to this is the same as Disney's Aladdin?
Welcome to Agrabah, city of mystery. Ooh. Enchantment.
The finest merchandise this side of the river Jordan on sale today. Come on down.
Where you have the singing peddler making small talk with the audience, and then he makes his magical kiosk of wares and artifacts appear out of nowhere.
Well, this one did come first, so I'm thinking Aladdin ripped that one off.
Could be.
I don't know. Everybody spread that around, but no.
Do it.
Yeah, so Seymour S. Sassafras is, of course, he's a frame of reference here, and he does that classic Rankin Bass thing. What? You've never heard of Peter Cottontail?
Right.
Now, of course, it's all very nice here, thanks to Peter Cottontail. Hmm? You never heard of Peter Cottontail? Great chattering chick-chicks! They've never heard of Peter Cottontail!
Yes, I have. That's why I'm watching this.
Exactly. So he proceeds to tell us the whole story. And if we want to nutshell it, essentially it's a story of a up-and-coming bunny trying to become the new Easter Bunny, but having to earn his way back after a huge mistake. I guess that's like a nutshell version. I do remember when I watched it when I was younger, Iron Tail and the Witch scared me a lot. That was like the biggest takeaways. Yeah, and they're like not scary at all.
No, they're not. So Iron Tail is voiced by Vincent Price, first of all.
Vincent Price, yeah.
What is terror?
So it's Vincent Price as an evil vampire bunny who rides a bat. And it's so great.
And it's just as crazy as that sounds.
Yep.
This is that era where, you know, Rankin Bass before then had really only gotten like one big name to do their special. And this is when they were starting to branch out and get a few big names. So, of course, Vincent Price, Danny Kaye, and they pretty much just stuck with like their local, you know, their usual folks like Paul Frees, like we mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
But in this case, they that was a big get for them. Yeah, I did like how Danny Kaye did triple duty. And so he was, of course, Seymour S. Sassafras. Mm-hmm. He was also the current chief Easter Bunny that's retiring, Wellington B. Bunny.
Yes, Wellington B. Bunny.
And then he was also Antoine, the French caterpillar.
Oh, he was Antoine. I guess we'll get to Antoine later, but...
Yeah.
Pierre, come to back for me.
Stereotypes aside, it was I remember him, Antoine was one of my favorites as a kid. I loved how he actually could drive like this time machine thing. And
he's a great character. He's this little caterpillar with a human head for no reason. He's got a little pilot hat on.
Creepy.
All the caterpillars in this have human heads. It's so creepy looking, but they are like so wholesome looking at the same time. Like it's less creepy and more confusing. It's like, that's a choice.
I think I'm gonna have to ask Paul Coker about that next time.
Do it.
Like, what are you doing, man? Well, where did that come from? But yeah, so Antoine, we'll get into him later. But anyway, so the chief Easter Bunny, Colonel Wellington B. Bunny, is retiring and he's looking for a replacement. And he comes up upon Peter Cottontail's name, and he actually kind of likes this choice. It's probably the best out of the bunch, even though because he's got a lot of spunk, but he's not like the most honest bunny. We find out that he ends up telling fibs quite a lot, and every time he does, his ear just droops down.
Which I thought they were going to make a bigger deal of that trait of his, and you see his ear droop once or twice, but I don't remember if it becomes a problem. Like, I don't know if it contributes to problems later on in the special, or if it's just you see it happening and it's like, oh, he told fib. But I don't think it like bites him in the butt later or anything.
No, not at all, really. I know when he was trying to get rid of some of the eggs one time, he would say something and his ear would droop. But
right,
I mean, it's not like the people he's talking to know what that means. I mean,
Chekhov's floppy ear.
That's right. Yeah. Let's see what happens. Never brought up again.
Right. But Peter Cottontail is voiced by Casey Kasem.
Zoinks!
Yeah, good old Shaggy.
Yeah, well, here he's doing his Robin voice, which I liked.
Yeah, I like Kate. No, I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. I was going to try.
Holy Tridulum, Batman.
No, I got nothing. I'm going to say it.
All right.
But anyway, so yeah, you're right. Casey Kasem, of course, my experience with him before his, besides his radio show, was as Shaggy. That's like how I knew Casey Kasem's voice.
Yeah, he was Shaggy and he was Robin. Those were the two.
And he was Robin, yeah.
And then he showed up on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. He did, didn't he?
Yep.
Well, I think he also comes out in an episode of My Two Dads.
Does he?
I think he comes out on the second Christmas episode.
Hey, all right.
Another tie-in. And I like how, as the Colonel's like picking out these choices, he's deciding it's Peter Cottontail, and Peter's like, "Oh, I never dreamed that I'd be the head Easter Bunny," and of course his ear flops down. You're telling a fib. And anyway, so yeah, you're right. Nothing ever happens. However, this is where we're introduced to the villain, January Q. Irontail.
Oh, I forgot his name was January.
That's another great name there, along with Seymour S. Sassafras.
Yeah, oh, it was so great.
Yeah, I kind of want to know what the Q stands for, honestly.
Hey, yeah.
Anyway, so he decided to name, to take as a last name, Irontail, because he actually wears an iron tail, and he's jealous of Peter because he has his nice fluffy cotton tail. So January, of course, lost his tail when a kid accidentally ran over it.
So now he hates children.
There's his motivation.
Right. So, it's like a Captain Hook syndrome.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So he decides that he wants to enter into the, I guess, this contest, or not really contest. He looks at the Constitution of April Valley.
Yes.
And realizes, yes, which Constitution, cool, okay.
They gotta have it. So
yeah,
he points out something that this Wellington B. Bunny is trying to handpick his successor, and Irontail says, "Oh, but first he has to get through an Easter by hiding the most eggs, or delivering the most eggs.
Delivering the
most
eggs.
More of a delivery
eggs, yep.
Here. They don't. Such a weird way to present the Easter Bunny, just strolling up to people in fields like, hey, how you doing? You want some eggs?
Yeah. Ours were always hidden.
Yeah. It's the whole point. So,
I don't know. I guess he, because he just needs to get rid of the most eggs. He's like, I'm not going to hide them. Let's just see.
Yeah,
if
I guess that's it.
Because January actually does kind of hide his Irontail. He actually does.
He does. You know, he puts some effort into it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one wanted his eggs because he's a nasty old rabbit.
Right.
But anyway, so Peter's so confident that he can beat Irontail in this competition that he throws a huge party the night before.
He does.
It's like an all-out rager, and he finally sets his alarm to wake him up. And of course, anthropomorphic alarm clocks. It's a rooster. That's
got a talking rooster as his alarm clock.
As his alarm clock. It's very Flintstones. So,
it's a living.
That's right. But Irontail is very sneaky, and so he gives it magic bubble gum. And so as the rooster is trying to crow or cock-a-doodle-doo, I suppose.
Right.
The bubble gum gets, the sound gets trapped in the bubble gum, which floats away. And it's so far away when it finally pops that you can't hear the cock-a-doodle-doo from Peter Cottontail's room. Yeah. So he oversleeps, and hence that story, the Easter Bunny, he overslept. And this is like the main issue. Because he oversleeps, he delivers no eggs. And Irontail, even though no one wanted his eggs because he was evil, he delivered one.
Managed to deliver one and wins and becomes the Easter Bunny.
And becomes the new chief Easter Bunny. It's like, okay, the bad guy won here. But why not? We need conflict, so let's do it.
Yep.
But it's strange because later on, Peter, in order to make up for this deficit, he wanders, he leaves, he's like a big disgrace because Irontail just wants to give out mud color Easter eggs and chocolate spiders and all these awful things.
I want a chocolate spider.
Right? I want to talk to Spider too. Like, let's do this, Halloween. Come on, where are you?
Yeah, I'll take one on Easter, sure.
Yeah, I pretty much can eat anything chocolate anytime. So yeah, yep. I'm down with it. But like, so he goes wandering. He meets Seymour S. Sassafras, this peddler. He has this garden of surprises,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know, man. The more I think about it, the more I think Seymour Sassafras is a drug dealer.
Well, no, what his garden of surprises reminded me of the 90s when we got that purple and green ketchup and things. It all yes. comes from Seymour Sassafras's garden of surprises.
Or Ecto Cooler or something.
Or Ecto Cooler, yep.
Or the the one that I really liked, those turtle pies. The Ninja Turtle
Hostess pies?
Oh yeah, yeah. Weren't they green?
They were green on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, it was all Sassafras is doing.
There it is. Doing well for himself.
For real. Peter, I guess, crashes in the storm and he falls asleep. And it turns out he's asleep on Seymour Sassafras's foot.
Yeah, he falls asleep on his toe and Sassafras doesn't move. Just lets bad. This rabbit sleep there instead of like giving him a little nudge. Like, get off my foot, man.
That's courtesy right there.
Yeah.
He finds out Peter's story and he kind of gives him and I'm kind of ignoring a lot of the songs here. I'm sorry. They're just not very good songs except for like one that I can think of.
Yeah.
Maybe two. And I love Maury Laws, but this is not his best it's group not his of songs. Best
work. No.
Yeah, at all. So I'm going to kind of skip through the songs mostly. But right. So Sassafras says, hey, look, I got this time machine. Basically, we let's go back. You can redo the day. But here's where I get confused. Okay. Because we're introduced to Antoine, who's like the pilot of this Yestermorrow mobile, which is a time machine essentially. But okay, so they want to go back in time, right? They want to go back to Easter Sunday so he can deliver his eggs and win.
Yep.
But they don't, because Irontail sends his bat, Montresor, to like or no he sends the spider excuse me he sends a spider to like mess with the
oh that's right he sends the spider to do that not the bat well my right. joke at the top was ruined it's no, okay, <that's> okay.
Yeah, so he sends a spider to like mess with the controls and it totally like disrupts the flux capacitor of this mm-hmm. machine here. So instead of going back in time, they go forward in time. The whole thing is, spoiler alert, he ends up winning. He delivers all his eggs on St. Patrick's Day. And we'll get to it. Yeah. But like he wins. So really, did he actually need the time machine? Or could he, like, was this contest all year long, like up till the next Easter?
I thought they had gone back a whole year and then kept going. Like, they got so out of control that they kept going back in time.
See, that's what I used to think, but then this is what really boggled my mind was that when they go to Mother's Day and he's trying to give away eggs, she says, you know, you didn't give any, like, we didn't get any eggs.
Oh, that's so, right.
So if, you know, like, I didn't mind, I don't mind getting, you know, not getting my bonnet, but the children. So like, if they went back in time, Colonel Wellington B. Bunny was still the Easter Bunny. He still would have given his eggs.
Oh, yeah. So,
I don't know. I'm baffled. That's like
so
my,
I guess
my biggest
they didn't
problem.
Need it, but.
Yeah,
it was a lot faster than having to just sit around and wait for the next holiday.
That's right, because they're traveling at 100 hours an hour.
Yes. 100 hours an hour. Don't think about it too hard.
That's right. The good
it's
French,
like doing the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
That's right. I'm sure we can find a way to retcon it somehow.
Yep, there it is.
But
I like the effect of them falling through the paper calendar as they re-enter the
That
time
was
stream.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was super cool. Yeah.
At first it's I didn't like understand it and I'm just like, did they burst through a cloud or is that what the rip in the space-time Oh, it's a calendar. They're literally falling through a calendar.
Yeah, going through time.
Yes.
But yeah, and that was a really, really nice effect as well. So yeah, so Antoine is driving this thing. He's doing his best to make it work. They end up on Mother's Day. And so Peter tries giving out his eggs, and that's where we get that big scene where, you know, the mom and the children, like, you know, we didn't get any eggs and how dare you. And so he feels terrible. He leaves. And I did like how instead of going to Father's Day, which, or Memorial Day, which I guess would be the next big holidays there, he ends up on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's a little more cheerful than Memorial Day would have been, so.
That's right, yeah. But the poor
sorry for
poor
your
dads,
loss. We want an egg?
Promise it'll make up for it.
No, yeah, I don't know why they skipped Father's Day, though.
Yeah, probably they just felt, you know, too close to Mother's Day, I guess. But
I guess.
Yeah. But so they go to the 4th of July next, and this is where I guess his ear comes in handy. But again, it's not like these kids know anything about his floppy ear. So
right.
This is where he tries to, he knows no one wants Easter eggs on the 4th of July. So he paints them. Antoine like tells him that, you know, Sassafras had stored all his paints and everything there. And so he repaints the eggs 4th of July colors. And they were actually, they looked really nice. They did a great job on these
really
eggs.
Nice. I was starting to consider, hey, maybe we should dye some eggs red, white, and blue for the 4th of July for no reason.
Right? We should. Yeah, let's make that a thing.
Make it a thing.
So he dyes these eggs. He tells these kids, because they don't want eggs, he tells them that they're fireworks. And of course, we see his ear droop. So we know he's lying. The kids don't. And then he tries to like dine and dash, basically.
Yeah.
He just like runs. He's like, come on, let's go. But the kids give the eggs back. Well, they throw them back.
They throw them back. Yeah, they catch on really quickly. These aren't fireworks. So they start throwing the eggs at him. And magically, Peter Cottontail catches every single egg.
Every single one.
Back in his basket. Even though they're like, they're already in the air. It's a flying time machine. It's got like this blimp sort of mechanism going on, so they're
yeah they don't need roads
in the air, and he catches everyone.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He does that quite a bit. There's a few times where he actually catches them all perfectly.
Yeah, he has
in his basket. Yeah, it's amazing. He's got like either awesome like elf reflexes or or they're magic eggs. I don't know, but yeah. So he takes off in his time machine that doesn't need roads. And they go to the next holiday. So he's like, all right, this one's a bust. Let's move on. And that's where I believe the next one is Halloween, I think. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Iron Tail is watching through his magic egg thing. And he
through time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe it doesn't. And we're just catching up with the regular flow of time as we go.
Oh, there we go. I like that.
He's just looking through that and just like, oh, Peter's back in the time stream.
I like that. That's a good explanation there. So yeah, he notices that you know, he sees what Peter's up to. So he calls his friend Madame Esmeralda, who's like this wicked Halloween witch.
Yes, and her evil color-changing powers. Oh, no.
I noticed that, too. What does she do besides her cackle and change color? Nothing.
No, yeah, that's the best you got, evil, scary witch?
No wonder Peter's not scared of her.
No, she seems very sweet.
There's no joke. I'm a wicked Halloween witch. I do simply horrendous things. I can turn blue and purple and green. Woo! I'm as spooky as Frankenstein.
Hey, that's great. Can you do Colonel Bunny? I can. Peter, my boy, I have some advice
for you. Oh, you're not supposed to enjoy my evil powers.
I did like the design of some of the ghosts that were flying.
Oh, the ghosts are great.
Yeah. I don't know how she was a wicked witch. I don't get it, but whatever. Peter, undaunted, he's trying to get rid of these things. He's like, hey, how about a gift? I got some eggs for you. She does that for me.
You know, she's delighted.
She quickly becomes her heart melts like winter, like the winter warlock.
Yep. Works every time.
Every time. Yep. So she's like super excited. And this, I believe, is where his bat Montresor comes and takes the eggs.
Yes.
Yeah. And so then he has to, of course, he has to go get it back.
So I felt bad for Madame Esmeralda because no one ever gives her gifts. Everyone's always afraid of her. And she was finally like getting her own gifts. And then they get stolen.
They get stolen by this bed. Like, thanks a lot. Thought we were buds.
So Peter goes to get him back because Montresor is like dropping them to try to break them all. He's like, they must be destroyed, Iron Tail. So Peter, again, with his magic basket skills, just happens to catch it. Like, that dude should work for like the circus or something because.
Right.
Or like, you know where he should go? He should go play for the Globetrotters with skills like that, man.
I don't know. He'd be a better outfielder.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, Peter Cottontail playing for the Mets.
No, not the Mets.
The Phillies?
Go Phils.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, man. So they try to get back to Halloween to give away the eggs. They can't. The controls are still messed up. So they go to Thanksgiving, of course. And I like his outfit here. It's so weird.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And I think Antoine even asks him, like, are you supposed to be like a Thanksgiving bunny or an Easter turkey? Because you can plainly tell he's like a rabbit trying to be a turkey.
How do I look?
What are you supposed to be? Huh? An Easter turkey or a Thanksgiving bunny?
He's got the feathers and it's just...
Right.
One of the most ridiculous looks I've ever seen.
I like it. No, I like it better than if they tried to dress him up like a pilgrim.
I do, too. I think it probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
I want to say, I think there's even concept art, like from the original sketches of him as a pilgrim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up again. But so anyway, he tries to give it away. Of course, it's Thanksgiving. Everyone's stuffed.
Everybody's already eaten.
The dad, yeah, oh, I can't eat another morsel.
Right.
And so he realizes he has no luck, and he moves on to the next big holiday, which is Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Of course. Yeah, Christmas connection.
Here's where we meet Paul Frees Santa.
Paul Frees Santa, and I loved his look here. It's very similar to... Like you said, like the end of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And because it was the same year, you're right. It probably could be the exact same doll. His eyes were a little more, not beady. What's the word? They were just like more closed, I guess.
He's kind of squinting.
A little more narrow. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just age or what, but I really dug Paul Frees in this special.
Yep. Just short and sweet.
Yep. Yep. He just comes out and I like how he even gets mad at Iron Tail. You know, or he's like, hey, those don't belong to you.
Yeah, no, he actually does a solid here for Peter Cottontail and tries to genuinely help the guy out.
What are you doing with those eggs? Well, you know they belong to Peter Cottontail.
Oh, why don't you stick to your own holiday?
Which makes me, it reminds me very much of the Santa Claus 2, you know, and like the Council of...
Yeah.
Elders.
Mm-hmm.
So they must all, I mean, they got to know each other. They
sure.
know their successors.
Yep.
That's the word. Why can't
That's
I think
it.
Successors? Yeah. So they know their successors. It also kind of reminded me of that Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. My kids.
I did like that one. Yeah. Yeah. I really love the books. The books are great.
Oh, we haven't read the books. I wonder if my daughter's read the books. She might have.
Nice. Yeah. They're just, you know, they always say the books are better. They're different. Yeah. I don't know if they're better, but they're definitely different. So
okay.
They're both enjoyable. And I think either way, not that we're here to talk about that. It doesn't matter.
Nah.
But, but so Peter, he's here at Christmas time. He can't give away his eggs because it's Christmas Eve. Everybody's at church or
sure.
at home celebrating, you know, just no one's outside on the streets. So he sees a shop. It's like a haberdashery, I suppose.
Yeah.
Great word. And they have a Bonnie, the Easter bonnet from April Valley.
Right.
No one bought. Oh, that perfectly coincidental writing.
Yeah. She reminded me, have you ever seen the Disney movie Make Mine Music? It was one of their package films from the 40s.
I think so. And it was just a bunch of different shorts.
Different shorts put to music. Mm-hmm. So there was one the Andrews sisters sang about Alice Blue Bonnet, who falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this is reminds me of.
I do remember that. That does look, yes, yes. Oh, man. Wow. I haven't seen that in a long time. So the bonnet's there in the window. He wants to buy her because he knows he can maybe give her a better home. And he doesn't have any money. He's trying to make a trade. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what he's going to end up doing is he give her the Easter eggs, Christmas eggs, because he paints them all,
yep,
you know, pepperminty colors. It's like white and red. And they're beautiful designs on that one.
They are.
Especially, I think those are my favorite ones. So he was going to give them away, or, you know, trade her. Mm-hmm. And as he's getting ready to do it, he leaves his basket outside like a jerk. And of course, Iron Tail takes them. It's like, come on, dude. This, like, you're responsible for giving these away. What are you doing?
So, this happens more than once in this special. He keeps making the same mistakes. I'll just leave the eggs over here while I do this. Like, no!
I'm going to go hit on this girl bunny for a bit.
And yes! So, yeah. Next ones. Well, they have the new year first.
They have the new year, which they couldn't stop.
No.
So Antoine was actually in the Santa beard. He was like hiding in the beard.
Oh, yeah.
He's hiding in his beard. And as Peter goes to like chase down, as he goes to chase down Iron Tail with his eggs, somehow like his beard comes off, or he takes off his beard, and Antoine is, you know, stuck, and he's like, Pierre.
You know, he gets lost in time.
He gets left behind. Yeah. Poor guy. He gets lost at Christmas time. And now Peter's stuck driving this time machine that he has no idea what to do.
Luckily, himself.
Well, he does have Bonnie Bonnet there.
Somehow, oh, that's right. Yeah.
He ended up stealing her, I guess, because because he was a traitor. He never gave the lady the eggs. So, oof. Not a good look, Peter. Not a good look.
Well, I guess Bonnie knew he was in trouble, so I guess she took off with him.
Yeah. I guess Antoine, maybe he traded Antoine for her.
Maybe. Here you go.
We'll say it like that. Or Antoine stayed to work off his debt. I don't know. Anyway.
Just washing dishes in the back of the hat store.
I can see it. It's Rankin Bass. That totally makes sense.
They'll make it work.
They totally will. So he, of course, can't control the machine, so he doesn't get to stop at New Year's. So he ends up at
Valentine's Day.
And he has all these nice pink and red eggs, all these Valentine eggs. And he meets this cute girl bunny that he's into. And she's like, "You're Peter Cottontail." And he's like, no. He tries to fib. Again, his ear falls. Doesn't really do anything. It's just to let us know he's telling a fib.
Yeah.
But he does learn to tell the truth in this special. And so he tells her the truth. She's like, "Hey, everybody makes a mistake. It happens," mm-hmm. you know? So good for her not being judgy.
Yeah, no, they have a tender little moment in song, and they go ice skating? Is that what
they
happens?
Do go ice skating.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go ice skating. They sing that song. I think it's the best song of the special.
A 24-hour day, be mine. Oh, let me hear you say that you'll be mine.
Can't wait another day.
My Valentine. Be mine today.
Which isn't really saying much. I love Maury Laws, just not as great.
Yeah,
his
no,
record.
I like that improvised song that Antoine sings just because. Antoine
oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Singing, but it worked for me.
People believe what they are, still their eyes. So when you can't get it all together, improvise. When you can't get it all together, improvise.
I do like that one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Improvise. Yeah,
improvise. That's a good one.
Oh, that man, your French accent is way better than mine. they do this ice skating courtship almost thing.
Yeah.
And while that's happening, of course, Iron Tail comes. And this is where you realize he's got power all of a sudden because
hey, yeah,
he like magically somehow turns all the eggs green. The yes. insides and the outsides. And of course, no one wants green eggs on Valentine's. That's
no.
And this is where I question that girl bunny's intentions, her integrity, because she's like, ugh, you don't have the eggs? Like, no thanks, man.
It's just like, no, I don't want a green egg. What's wrong with you?
That's right. Okay. She just like totally turns it down. It's like, I thought you were having a moment. Nope.
She doesn't like green eggs and ham.
She will not eat them with a goat.
Nope.
Not in a Yestermoramobile. Not on a moat. Yeah. So anyway, he decides to, I mean, he's running out of time. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, he's ready to give up. But like everybody watching is just screaming at their TVs, who could possibly want green food during a holiday between Valentine's Day and Easter?
The Irish.
Yup.
Yep, he lands at St. Patrick's Day, gives away all his eggs. They're a huge hit and wins the contest, which again makes me wonder, so is it just how many eggs delivered Easter Day or not? Because apparently it's
by Easter.
Just by the next Easter.
I guess so.
Yeah. So he's made Chief Easter Bunny and he wins the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand the time travel in this, but hey, it's Rankin Bass. You'll never understand fully anything.
No, it's like that one part of the time machine where he just figures, well, going back in time isn't working, so I'll just keep going forward. And then he gets knocked on the head and ends up in the year 800,000 something. But
yeah,
we're all just catching up as we go.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wonder about his aging. So, his aging process. So
I to guess go through if you're time, in the time machine, then you're not aging.
That's what I would think.
Some sort of bubble. Like, as long as you're above those calendar pages, then you're on your own little time stream.
That would be kind of cool to actually be time traveling and see the calendar pages. Like, yes. Super helpful. although I think Doc's version, on the dashboard faster. Might actually be a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But, that's just the whole show. I really like this one. I can see why it's not some people's favorites. I definitely think it's better than the Easter Bunny is coming to town today.
See, I like that. That's my favorite, but.
Oh, but well, I'm sorry then.
That's all right. It's all a matter of preference. They're all very unique. They all tell their own unique origin story of the Easter Bunny in their own little multiverse. They never cross streams or anything. And again, this was Rankin Bass's first non-Christmas holiday special, I think. So they leaned on Christmas a lot here and every other major holiday. So not very Eastery, but it still works, and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I thought Iron Tail was a cool villain.
Oh yeah,
he seemed evil enough. not Kubla Kraus evil, but enough. And in the end, he ends up working as like the custodial service, like a janitor or something.
Yeah, they throw him a bone at the end.
It's like, dude, get out of there. Go run an empire somewhere. You obviously have talent.
No.
But, oh well. Like, he would make a killing at Halloween.
He would. He's got, I mean, he lives in a spooky castle.
Okay, so we know this is a multiverse. None of these Easter specials are connected. Let's say they were connected. Do you think that this is a continuation of the Easter Bunny is coming to town or the first Easter Rabbit?
Oh, it gotta be Easter Bunny is coming to town, I think.
You think so? Because they live in Kidville in that one.
They live in Kidville. We really don't see much more of that, but just because he lives in a valley with other bunnies and the first Easter rabbit begins life as a stuffed rabbit. So I feel like the way they introduce April Valley and the Bunny Village here makes more sense as a continuation of the Easter bunnies coming to town. It's just like they built off of Kidville. where you don't have anything like that in, well, you have Easter Valley, but.
Yeah, I kind of lean the other way. I kind of think it's a continuation of, or if it was a continuation of one, it would be of the, you know, the first Easter Rabbit, because, they go to the, you know, Easter Valley there. Santa voiced by Paul Frees is there.
Yeah. You have Santa in both. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, either way, I don't think they're related at all, but if they were, no. That would be the one I lean towards, but you're right. I could see a timeline where, you know, because I think his name is Sonny, right? In first Easter. Yeah. So in the Easter Bunny's Coming to Town, I could see a timeline where Sonny establishes this whole, you know, this whole April Valley off of Kidville. You're right.
Sure. In that one, he starts the tradition of how to eat an Easter egg. There's a whole process to it. So just build on those traditions. And this is how the Easter Bunny is succeeded when he decides to retire.
Yep. Yep. So Sonny retired. He appointed a new guy who took over, and eventually it came down to Colonel Wellington and then Peter. Yep. So I definitely could see that. Yeah. But if you could be in this special, like if you were a character in this, whether voicing or actual character, which one would you be?
Oh goodness. I'd probably have to go to Antoine.
That's good. That's a good it. I like that one. I think I'd want to, in this particular special, I think I'd actually want to be Iron Tail. I think he has the most fun.
He does. That's a good choice.
Just, it'd be, I don't know. I don't think I'd be good as an evil character, but I think it'd be fun to try.
It'd be fun to try.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I got to know. What would you say would be your happiest memory or moment with the special?
I think rediscovering it as an adult would be my happiest, because I really don't have memories of watching it as a kid. But when I discovered it as an adult, I was just like, okay, this is really a cute little special, and it's got time travel, and that just piqued my interest.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, mine is very similar. So I remember watching it as a kid. I have good memories of that. But I think my happiest moment would be when I saw it again with my wife. And then when I introduced it probably to the kids, because they really like this one. The other ones, they fidget through. This one, I think, is the one that they sit through and just really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be it. Just sharing it with my kids.
Very nice.
Oh man, but now we come to my favorite part of the show, and there's a lot of them that we could choose from in this one, but it's a bit called Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the episode. So as a guest, I'll let you go first, just kind of set up the scene for us.
Well, it's the scene where Peter Cottontail falls asleep on Seymour Sassafras's foot and wakes him up, and he goes, beg pardon, Peter, you're sleeping on my big toe. You really must have been tuckered out to use a big toe as a pillow.
That's a ridiculous line.
So
yeah. As much as I love Romeo Muller, sometimes his line's just not great. But he's a better writer than I am, so I can't say anything. I also actually chose a Seymour Sassafras line. But nice. This is towards the beginning when he's doing that whole you've never heard of, you know, Peter Cottontail bit. And he goes, great chattering chick-chicks.
Got a few of those. That might be the best one.
What are you saying, man? Oh man, yeah, there's quite a few of those that just they don't make any sense at all. But this is the reason I thought maybe he was a drug dealer. He goes, I'm a peddler by trade, and by trade and by golly I deal in magic and moonbeams and pretty colors. Magic and moonbeams and pretty colors. I don't know, man. I think he's a guy that's gonna
Like, it's just that one mention of, well, this is where the Easter Bunny gets the colors for his eggs, and then that's it.
Yeah.
No mention of that again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course he does. He's got to get them somewhere.
Sure, yeah.
But I do got to know if, G.I. Joe, they taught us that no one is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
Not leaving your Easter basket out of your sight.
For real. Very good. Mine is using a time machine to manipulate the outcome you want.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mike, it's always a pleasure talking with you. It's always so much fun. But tell me
this
about...
great. You, thank you.
Tell me about your show.
Well, you can find my show, The Advent Calendar House, at adventcalendar.house. We are currently still in a long winter snap, but I'll have a dozen eggs worth of new episodes coming in July.
Right on. And they can find you anywhere besides on social media?
Oh, I mostly hang out on Twitter. I'm at Fall West Mike.
Right on. Yep. Good stuff there. Always good stuff.
Thank you.
And check out Advent Calendar House. It's one of the most thoroughly researched shows that I've come across. It's really great. It's one of my all-time favorites. So make sure you check them out. But on that note, I'm going to say thanks again. And Merry Christmas, Peter. Merry Christmas. Same to you, Santa. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas and Twitter at Rad Christmas. And if you're feeling like Peter, becoming the Chief Easter Bunny, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to check out our merch shop on tpublic.com and our brand new website, totallyradchristmas.com, courtesy of Tis the Podcast Elf, Tom Crow. Merry Christmas to all and to all a safe night. Later, dudes.
Are you tired of not being able to fit your 8-hour VHS tape full of holiday specials into your car stereo? So was I, till I discovered the Advent Calendar House. It's a podcast, you know, on the internet. They talk about all your favorite holiday specials.
I'm the most important part, because I'm the Christmas toy.
From the must-watch Christmas classics...
Humbug.
...to the lost treasures at the bottom of the bargain bin.
I'm Olive, I'm the other reindeer.
Now I don't have to hook up a VCR to my car battery anymore. Thanks, Advent Calendar House. Visit adventcalendar.house now to download your first episode free. And all the other ones free. It's a free podcast. Just go listen.
Gadgets, toys, greed, avarice. I love it.